This is Earth Files, the award-winning news site with the latest updates in science, environment, and real X-Files. Podcasting in-depth reports beyond the 6 o'clock news by Emmy Award-winning journalist Linda Moulton Howe.
36 years ago, in late February through March of 1973, residents in Piedmont, Missouri, were captivated by mysterious moving, flashing, jumping, zigzagging lights in the sky. Piedmont is 63 miles west of Cape Girardeau, where the U.S. government allegedly retrieved a crashed UFO in 1941, 6 years before the Roswell, New Mexico crashes of July 1947. The Piedmont, Missouri residents reported TV static and stalled cars on highways after unidentified aerial lights flew over. One man reported that he lost his TV signal at the same time his home lights dimmed and his house shook. He went outside and saw an egg-shaped object hovering in the air nearby, emitting a high-pitched sound, and his dogs ran away to hide. Other Piedmont residents reported seeing lights in the night sky that made erratic turns, flashed lights like airliners, but blinked out when real airliners approached. There were even reports of people seeing disks on the ground in fields and glowing objects moving underwater in nearby Clearwater Lake. Local TV called all of it, quote, the Piedmont UFO, close quote. Professor Harley D. Rutledge, Ph.D., who was chairman of the physics department at Southeast Missouri State University in Cape Girardeau, decided to investigate. Professor Rutledge organized a team of observers with Questar telescopes, sophisticated frequency monitoring equipment, and cameras. He called his research effort Project Identification and later produced a 1981 book about his question, what were the lights in the sky that seemed to mimic stars, helicopters, and airplanes? Professor Rutledge named part of the phenomenon pseudostars. Pseudostars, he said, were lights pretending to be stars camouflaged by familiar constellations of real stars. But pseudostars moved, and Project Identification caught their stealthy motion in time-lapse photographs. Some of the glowing objects resembled normal aircraft flashing lights, while other strange mysterious lights seemed to violate known laws of Earth physics as if flaunting their extraordinary flight abilities. But what baffled Professor Rutledge most were lights in the sky that repeatedly seemed to react to the Project Identification people observing the lights. Now, in 2009, about 150 miles southeast of Piedmont, Missouri, in Nashville, Tennessee, on the western edge of town, more lights have appeared since October 2008 that also seem to mimic stars, helicopters, and airplanes. Retired engineering designer and professional artist Gary Mansfield began noticing odd light behavior in October while looking at the sky from the deck of his Bellevue suburban home on the western edge of Nashville. Since then, over the past 8 months, Gary says he has seen at least 50 aerial objects that baffle him, as well as his fiancée, Kim, who has been a second eyewitness on many of the light events, including February 16, 2009, at 9:40 p.m. Central. A straight line of vivid light suddenly appeared in the sky without motion.
And we stepped out onto the deck. It was dark outside, probably 8:30, 9 o'clock. And she looked up. She said, look. And instinctively, I looked up. And three brilliant round lights, maybe 5 foot in diameter, they looked to be, side by side, like they were on a bar, a light bar. Just turned on. They weren't even moving, sort of barely rotating from a northeasterly position toward the north. And we were looking right up underneath this thing. The sky was very dark. It was a total pitch black dark night. We couldn't see any outline of the craft. It was a couple 200 feet above us at a 60 degree angle. Just like it floats like a a blimp. It's just barely turning sideways. And she said, is that an airplane? I said, no, it's too close and it's moving too slow. I'm going for the camera. Got my digital, turned it on, went back outside. It had barely moved more than 20 degrees across perpendicular to our deck and was just meandering along like a hot air balloon. The lights went out. Then they came back on after 3 or 4 or 5 seconds. Then they went out again. This is a light bar of intense light. Then they go out again. And then all of a sudden, a red light and a green light, very dim, come on, like they were on the wingtips of an airplane. And they flash in a sequential method that looked like they were being toggled instead of being controlled electronically, like someone was imitating the sequence. They go off. They come back on again. Within 20 seconds, this thing hung directly over our area before it went out of sight. There's nothing other than a blimp that can move like that.
Those three bright lights seem to come on in response to your fiancé's noticing something, and then they came on.
To our very presence, I believe.
Yeah.
We moved to this location in June of 08. In October of 08, I was standing on the balcony at probably around midnight and saw 25 to 30 low-lit spheres, white spheres that had a very low glow to them, in a crescent shape, like a string of pearls. And they were coming from the west in my direction at about a half a mile. And they actually flew over my location within 250, 300 feet. That was a rude awakening because they didn't look mechanical. They almost looked biological.
Can you explain that?
Yes. They moved in an excitatory state against each other. They had a cloud, a vaporous cloud around them, like they were enveloped in this cloud. And they moved 15, 20 miles an hour, and it was like they knew where they were going. These were individual units flying side by side, like bouncing off of each other, vibrating.
Hmm.
6-foot spheres lined up in a crescent shape.
The color?
They were dimly lit from within, like a soft white light bulb.
Mm-hmm.
My first impression was that it was biological.
And what was the closest they got to you?
I would say within 300 feet.
Why do you think that you had the impression that they were biological?
There was no sound. Each of the spheres were irregular in shape. They weren't perfectly round. Like they were actually maintaining a spherical shape, but somehow had angular edges and corners that seemed to move as they flew by. Like there was movement inside as they were flying through the air. It was very, very weird to look at. Shortly after that, I pursued becoming a MUFON field investigator and have been so since February of 09. Prior to becoming one, I had witnessed other aerial phenomena. Mind you, I have seen at least 50 aerial objects over the last 6 months. One, in fact, drew a black helicopter within 5 minutes. I don't know who called it other than maybe the local radar authority, but it responded like within 5 minutes. And the craft I saw that day looked like the cabin of a passenger airliner without wings, without tail fins, standing straight up and down, the most brilliant mercury car I have ever seen.
Okay, let me make sure I understand. If I took a fuselage or something like a cigar, I upended it vertically, and it had windows along this vertical fuselage?
No, ma'am. It had no windows whatsoever. It was a solid mass, a brilliant mercury-colored surface, which was ascending very slow, almost at the speed of a helium balloon, if you let it go. A brilliant silvery, almost polished mirror silver.
Okay. And what happened?
Well, it got to a certain point, and I reached for my binoculars that I had on the deck and was bringing them up. And about the time I got them to my eyes, it started vanishing. I mean, not by speed, not by a movement of speed vanishing, but it began to disappear slowly, like it was losing the integrity of its visual image.
Fading out.
Fading out. And I pulled the binoculars up and pulled them to the location, and it was gone. Disappeared.
Did you have a sense that it was the act of your reaching for your binoculars that caused it to fade away?
I did since then.
Now, where were you exactly in the Nashville area where you have seen the six organic-looking lights a year ago, and then this almost mirrored-surfaced glowing vertical fuselage ascending and disappearing? Are you in the same house or apartment in the same balcony?
I am indeed, which is on the west edge of Nashville as far as the suburban area.
That was a year ago, correct?
Correct.
Now we're speaking on June 2nd, 2009. What has happened in the past week that Eddie called me about?
This was on the 26th, 4:35 a.m. in the morning. I did an all-night sky watch. Had a beautiful clear night. A stationary flash of light caught my eye at a 45-degree angle southwest. I turned my attention to it, and I noticed a point of light appear. Actually, I flashed it back.
With what kind of flashlight?
With a high-powered two-beam light. I had been seeing the same light characteristic flash in the same area of sky several times over the last 2 weeks. So I decided to try and see if I could invoke some interaction with it. And sure enough, it flashed back.
Hmm.
And when it did, I noticed another light start moving toward this stationary light. As it approached it and began to pass it, I flashed it with the light again, and it stopped just past the stationary object. Now I have two stationary objects. One is maintaining its lit characteristic, and the other one is not. So I flashed it again, trying to provoke more interaction. The one that was moving starts off to the southwest, and this other light flashes me back, except the flash lasts a lot longer, and I can tell that it's in my direction. And actually noticed another brilliant light that appeared off to my northwest. It lit up like a Roman candle, which was very strange. And then it just faded back to a point of light, like the dog star, that intensity, and then start moving across the sky. That chain of events really unnerved me somewhat as far as the reality of the amount of activity that morning.
Right.
And then after that, I noticed several more stationary lights light up. This is almost like a swarm of lightning bugs there for about 45 minutes.
Were you looking through the camera to see shapes and estimate sizes?
Actually, no. I had my binoculars. I didn't have my scope set up that night.
What did you see through your binoculars?
The first one that flashed me, I did look, and I thought I saw a black mass that sort of moved, like it moved into an arc.
And what did you see when you aimed your binoculars at the light?
Just a point of brilliant light. It wasn't a diffused, it was a brilliant source of light.
You noticed a black mass. Was it through the binoculars or when you took your eyes away from the binoculars and looked at the sky?
This was through the binoculars.
It appeared like a section of the dark sky moved.
No, it was actually darker than the ambient light of the sky.
And did the dark section that moved have a shape?
Yes, it was globular.
And was it close to the bright light?
Yes, I believe that it was the source of the light.
All of this occurred around the 4-something a.m. time on May 26th?
Actually, from 4:35 to 5:25.
That was May 26th, and we're talking on June 2nd. So in the last 7 days or so, what else have you seen?
The most important one, which is the one I submitted to MUFON. At 8:30 p.m. on the 31st, I began setting my scope up for a night of sky watch. The sky was crystal clear. I was finishing setup when my better half stepped out and said, "Look, a light just came on near that plane." I looked and saw a commercial airliner had descended its approach from the west and was 30 miles out of Nashville International Airport at an altitude of maybe 2,500 feet. The light that she referred to was almost suspended in midair as the plane continued past it. I then saw this light slowly accelerate into an arc until it was now flying directly behind the airliner at 1/4 mile at nearly the same altitude and following at a slower speed. I quickly turned my scope on the plane to check the focus, which was dead on, and then back to the light, which was following. I could clearly see that the object was gray-black, 20 to 25 feet long, estimated, maybe one-third the airliner cabin depth, and had a bright, diffused light underneath it. The light did not appear to be a projecting light, but an energy source, very brilliant white. Another peculiar oddity is that the object appeared to have a clear gelatin-like shroud around as it flew through the air.
Meaning?
Much like the chain of pearls, the biological thing that I saw, much like it was moving in a, as if you were looking through a fluid container in wavy motion.
This wavy motion with that organic quality is about 1/4 mile behind the airliner that's landing.
Yes, I have seen this light several times this month. In fact, it may be actually that black mass light that I saw in the same vector of sky. If so, I've seen it 3 times in the last 2 weeks. There was enough sunset for me to actually recognize the plane as an inbound Delta flight when I checked my focus on it.
And what happened?
The object, I tracked it with my telescope at 35X. The object was roughly 1 1/4 miles away till I lost it at the edge of the building, and it continued on and out of view. Very strange that it would follow a passenger plane.
Did you try to follow up with Delta to see if any pilot had reported an unidentified object doing an arc?
Not on the plane, I haven't. No, because I had already called the airport authorities on this first 26 incident, trying to get some radar confirmation on all that happened early in the morning. I finally got in touch with a control tower and identified myself as a field investigator with MUFON and informed him that I was investigating a case. And he laughed and said that he was going to consider this call as a prank call. And then he proceeded to hang up in my face.
Wow.
I was very humiliated at that point that he would not take me serious.
You're paying attention to a phenomenon that seems to be displaying itself for you because of your consciousness. And when you try to go to the very places post 9/11 that should have great concern about unidentified and mysterious objects behind airliners, they tell you they think it's a prank call and hang up.
Evidently.
Think about the irony of all of this, post 9/11.
I like to fly, but now that I know that there are things that follow the plane, I'm not so sure that I like it as much anymore. I had been noticing these flashes of lights periodically in the sky at night, which is what got me interested all over again in sky watching for things other than stars and planets. And one night about 8:45, I believe, it must have been November. It was cold, very cold, maybe December, right at the end of the year. But the light just came on all of a sudden, got bright, and then receded back to its star-like quality, and then started moving gradually and picking up speed very rapidly until it was going about as fast as a typical full-throttled passenger plane. What I estimated to be about 4,500 miles an hour through the air. I picked up my light, flashed it for at least a good 2-3 seconds, and it stopped and, without missing a hitch, reversed its course in the very exact same path that it had just came.
It didn't turn. It literally went in reverse.
It literally went in reverse at 400 to 500 miles an hour. And came right back to the position in front of me and went out. Without slowing down, it just turned the lights out.
What did you think at that moment?
I was startled because I'm quite aware of what technology can and cannot do, and I know that it cannot do that. I concluded that it responded to me and showed me that it could come back and watch or whatever. And I flashed again, but nothing happened, and had to contemplate it the rest of the evening.
Only a few miles further west of Gary Mansfield's Nashville residence is Big Harpeth River, and the mystery of the mound bottom culture that lived there around 800 to 1400 A.D., also known as the Mississippian culture or temple mound builders. Their agriculture was sophisticated, and there were 14 mounds and some open plazas. Two of the mounds were pyramids 50 feet high. Where did the temple mound builders go? Subsequent Nashville populations and archaeologists who study the mound bottom culture refer to the builders as, quote, a mysterious race of people who invaded the area, built large earthen works, and then abruptly abandoned their large towns and disappeared, close quote.
Thanks for listening to this Earth Files podcast from the edges of science, environment, and real X-Files. Go to www.earthfiles.com to see more than 1,000 Earth Files reports with photographs, drawings, and documents. And visit Earth Files every day, every week, for new reports and new podcasts. That's www.earthfiles.com.